Chapter 13, Witchhaven.
Schola Sicana Security Incident Report. At 0105, Sanctionite Dunstan, Delta Standard, Class 1132 Echo, fell from the roof of the Neutral 01 habitation block. Collar readings indicate that she was alone at the time of the event. Sanctionite was declared DOA at the Medicaid facility and released by the proctor on call. All pertinent details have been logged for review. The body was delivered to the Sicana City Recycler. No further action was taken.
That's quite a presumption,
said Dean Kilhaven.
But it wouldn't be the first time a witch has been suspected. From its inception, Schola Sicana was designed to cull the weak and the unstable.
Centelles added his take.
Peric, I know who you suspect, but we've interrogated Locadio Rink, and he reads as sociopathic at worst. His evals and readings are cleaner than yours.
So were Mateen's right up until he snapped, and you could have lost two psychers in the exchange. Add in Rink's defunct class, reclusive nature, and powerful telepathic abilities, and the pattern fits. He preys on the weak and drives them to their ruin.
Where better to hide than Sicana, a witch among witches,
said Kilhaven.
It would be the perfect spot unless one considers there are hundreds of other psychers and guards around, each trained and ready to take you down. Our proctors are the best when it comes to sniffing out the rogues.
What if you had no choice? Or what if you could get around the built-in security measures? What if you could manipulate the collars of others from a distance?
Peric, how would any Sanctionite know the codes and how to override the wisdom built into each collar?
Why don't you ask McKittrick how Rink did it? Centelles sighed.
McKittrick was DOA. Her collar had been corrupted, and the security protocols worked as designed. Rink could have never even met her.
I knew better. I'd been through the process, having replayed my steps and those of Locadio Rink. The interrogator saw it in my face and frowned.
Now what video are we missing?
The Orbital 5 holding cells on the day Class 1137 Lima was formed. Don't tell me Ordo Hereticus wasn't recording our every move, including our energy signatures. Dean Kilhaven leaned forward.
Peric, what are you saying?
I met Locadio Rink on Orbital 5, and he mentioned McKittrick's name before I ever knew she existed. I could almost see the "that's absurd" thought forming in his mind, but he chased it away. I wasn't lying.
You're saying Rink can project his astral self into orbit?
Not only can he project an astral body, but he can also manipulate devices and cast spells with it.
How far have you flown from your physical body?
A few miles. I've never tried to test it any farther than that. Dean Kilhaven's regard grew even more intense.
From where you're sitting right now, do you think that you could harm me?
I looked down at the table, placing my hands flat. You know I could, assuming you don't have a null bubble floating around you. How will I ever be free, I thought.
We've read the reports. Proctor Alicante was most impressed by your confession to killing 12 on Fulcrum 4. How long did that take?
The new collar around my neck was likely a direct result of that earlier admission, and a closer look at my unpredictable abilities. The light and civility of the Overhive clashed with the dangerous prisoner sitting among them. 2 seconds, I replied. Only a handful of people knew the truth of what exactly happened that night. Peric Silver's first night out as a boss in Sub-Zero. I'd stolen the energy from the hearts of 12 knife wielders holding 4 junior arbiters hostage. In that same capsule of time, I dropped more than 100 other gang members, leaving them unconscious for the local Adeptus Arbitus to sort out. Inquisitor Kilhaven took a moment to enter a note on his console and posed one final question.
Why only 12?
I was speechless. The question felt more like a crudely aimed taunt than a concern. Why did I kill 12 and let the others live? First off, I wasn't a monster. And second, I wasn't taking any chances where the lives of the hostages were concerned. Had the universe evened the score afterward? In spades. Could I voice any of that at the moment? Feth, no. Interrogator Centelles tapped the comms device on his wrist and nodded to Dean Kilhaven.
It is as you surmised. Are you satisfied?
I am. This hearing is concluded.
Dean Kilhaven tapped a screen on his desk.
Peric, the decision to take a life is never an easy one, even if your reasons were sound.
Somehow that didn't make me feel any better. I sighed. Dean Kilhaven, If I survive this year, please send me someplace where I won't be a threat to anyone but the enemies of mankind.
That can certainly be arranged. In the meantime, you will be lodging in the Overhive with my family and me.
Sindar Killhaven made it clear he wanted to keep an eye on me personally while offering me a comfortable haven beyond the reach of any commissar, sanctionite, or witch. My daily evals would occur with the Dean over breakfast and should not be missed. Other than that, I was free to do as I saw fit in my pursuit of the witch among us. My collar was programmed to allow me access to the depth and breadth of Sykana City and would still be monitored 24 hours a day. I could enter or leave Skola Sykana at my own choosing, but would have to remain within the bounds of the surrounding Hive City. The greater freedom was a statement of trust meant to soften the collar's bite. I took it as such and hoped it wasn't all a mistake. I'd been given my own suite on a quiet floor of Killhaven's Overhive Tower, and my few belongings had been transferred up. Breakfast the following morning offered another surprise. I'd expected Inquisitor Sindar Killhaven, not his entire family.
Now you know why I took a step back from Ordo Hereticus. Enjoy the coffee. It's grown here on Terra.
Around the table, the Dean's wife and adult children surveyed the newcomer. I couldn't imagine what he'd told them about me, and if not for the Sykana uniform, couldn't help but feel like their backwater cousin. I said, "Grown?" The Dean's wife, Tora, answered,
"Be sure that our nutritional essentials are still manufactured to exacting standards, but some things can't be properly duplicated, and it's a way to bolster the genetic lines. You saw some of my more successful experiments on the way into our estate."
Genetics were always at the forefront of the Imperium's technologies, no matter which field was at hand, be it cultivation or war. The Emperor had started his own genetic experiments thousands of years before, creating the original lines of the Adeptus Astartes. Some thought he'd done the same with Psykers, injecting the necessary genetic aberrations into the population as it grew beyond the closest star systems. The need for navigators, a special form of Psyker that could bore shortcuts through the Immaterium, might have driven the advancement. That, and the need to feed the Emperor the psychic energy that made him immortal. There is a reason Psykers aren't considered human. No one dares to make a cannibal out of the Emperor of Mankind. Across the table sat the Dean's youngest son, Trace, an officer in the Imperial Guard of Terra. He was a few years older than me and brought to mind my brother Ram. I couldn't help but think that he was sitting there for a reason, and it stole away my appetite. Peric Killhaven had a family. Peric Silver did not. Instead, he had a mission, a half-step on a path to something bigger and more fitting to his genetics. "The coffee is incredible," I said. "Thank you."
"Peric, after breakfast, my daughter Samara will escort you to our Medicaid for a complete exam. I want a full, unfiltered report on your present condition and the state of your implants."
I was going to start my investigation today.
"Centelles is on it. Give him a head start, and after your exam, you can escort Samara while she makes her rounds in Sub-Zero."
"Rounds in Sub-Zero?" Samara Killhaven replied.
"As a certified member of the Medicaid, I'm training for a position in the city's administratum. A key part of that is auditing the condition and readiness of our city's vast Medicaid services."
Samara was obviously a prodigy. She wasn't that much older than me, maybe 20. And already a Medicaid specialist with a path into a notably higher position. Like her mother, she was fit, perfectly coiffed, and dressed for power. Her confident smile wielded a half dimple and slightly darker eyes, more brown than Tora's amber, but their resemblance was striking. Samara seemed ready for what would likely be an utterly boring day. Dean Killhaven read my enthusiasm and spoke carefully for the benefit of everyone present.
"Peric, when I returned to Terra after my last field mission as an Inquisitor, I spent more than a year decompressing from the hunt we'd completed. The mission was a success, yet I'd lost two members of my crew in our attempt to isolate the witch."
"Were you ever marked?"
"No, never. Those that are marked do not suffer long because of it."
"By whose hand?"
"Mine, of course. I couldn't put the mission at risk."
He exchanged glances with his family, being careful to avoid my eye. Inquisitor Teodoro Locke had been right all along. Hereticus would have torn me apart at first sight and left the real monster behind. Admittedly, Inquisitor Killhaven wasn't entirely wrong in his actions. "And yet, you allow me to dine with your wife and family." Dean Killhaven zeroed in on my voice as if it called him back.
Parik, my point exactly. Take a few days to simply breathe before you resume your path. The witch could be staring you in the face and you would never know it.
I'd encountered a warp witch before, and there'd been no mistaking what it was. It had left its mark on me, inside and out. Whatever was on hand at Sykhana was far more subtle. Lord Killhaven, I will do my best to decompress. Samara was as stoic in the mornings as I. She escorted me to the Overhive's Medicay for a battery of scans and tests, meaning that Lord Killhaven's mission of deconstructing silver was still well underway. When she returned 2 hours later, she handed me a black custom-fitted bodysuit and my Dura leather jacket. Part formal, part sport, part armor, the suit appeared standard for any Overhive bodyguard.
Don't worry, the jacket will make up for it,
she said.
We don't get such outlandish designs on Terra.
When will we get the results of my tests?
I've already reviewed them with my father. I hope you don't mind.
Did I pass? She grimaced.
You exceeded his expectations and mine.
In a good way, right? I smiled, hoping for a few extra points.
That is yet to be seen.
Our afternoon was spent in a pleasingly uneventful manner. Samara did her rounds, beginning with the deepest levels of the hive first, and slowly working her way upward. It would take weeks to complete her overall task, but she didn't hurry or skip any details as she recorded each visit. As we rode the lift back to the Overhive that evening, she remarked,
You've got a scar behind your ear.
I do. The scar was my pride and joy, the lingering sign of a curse that I'd survived.
They missed it when they patched you up. Careless, wasn't it?
Intentional. I wanted to see if the prodigy could figure it out on her own. Samara had seen the fresh Medicaid reports, and her eyes closed for a second as she ran back through them.
There was a clone. Your organs are in too good a condition for the surrounding repairs. With the clone involved, they left the scar so that they could ID you reliably if necessary.
And then it hit her.
You're officially dead, aren't you?
I had no reason to lie to the young woman. It was a requirement for my future at Skola Sykhana.
Sykhana has managed to add its own layer of damage. You're still healing from it.
The Skola's commissar was a bit trigger-happy. That's why your father has me staying here with you.
When will you go back to Sykhana?
Tonight or tomorrow? She frowned.
Then who will go with me on my rounds?
Lord Killhaven was smarter than I first thought. He was as clever as his daughter, but far less appealing. Upon our arrival at his Overhive estate, Uluxio Centelles escorted me to the library for another heart-to-heart talk.
It seems we haven't seen all the video,
said Centelles. Like I always said, Sindar Killhaven cleared his throat.
Master Silver, we've had a most enlightening day, but first, has my daughter made it back safely from her appointed rounds?
I wouldn't be here otherwise. It was a day full of scrutiny, but little else.
Did she share your Medicaid results?
We discussed them.
I think Teodoro Locke was trying to pull a fast one. I'll bet he's planning to be back here for your graduation to neonate, thinking he can claim you as an apprentice before anyone is the wiser. Fortunately, we've come to know you and your abilities far sooner than he might have expected.
Inquisitor Locke was a brilliant man with a low opinion of the ways of Hereticus. At this point, I didn't know which way to turn. Being caught in the middle, I should have kept my mouth shut and my eyes open. I didn't. Inquisitor Locke seemed to think that you would shoot first and ask questions later. My experiences thus far at Sykhana aligned with the sentiment, but those weren't the only ones in the room. Uluxio Centelles stepped in front of me, blocking my view of Inquisitor Killhaven and encouraging me to kindly keep my opinions to myself. It turns out Fether is often used instead of please on Terra, and I intended to brush up on the local dialect. I murmured, You're saying it isn't true?
I'm saying that it isn't an easy decision to make, and that in the end, the consequences often outlast the end goal.
My life was one of heavy consequences. I was swamped by them, as were the two men in the room, but I didn't know their half of the story. How does an Ordo Hereticus Inquisitor retire to the post of Dean of Sykhana? Proving me right and wrong simultaneously, Centelles answered,
Cinder's middle son was a member of his last hunt team. I worked beside him for 10 years, and he was never as loose with his tongue as you are now.
He was marked? Centelles nodded silently and gazed back over his shoulder. Dean Killhaven stared into his palms, the evening's good mood shattered. Feth, I begged Centelles, please find Lady Killhaven and bring her here right away. I knew another lady that was sure to distract the Inquisitor, something that would pull him back from the edge of his horrific memories and set him on a new hunt. Lord Killhaven, I'm sorry for my loose tongue. You've made a mistake in thinking my coarse mind belonged here. I wanted them to know what they were dealing with, but I needed a running head start. I eased myself toward the library's door. The name you are searching for in my past is Lady Hawn. Lady Hawn was a warp witch turned demon host that had birthed a warp demon. Our violent encounters had transformed us both. The whole process had worked itself out in the underhive of the city Hydra Secundus on the planet of Fulcrum IV, and would eventually find its way into the officially recorded deeds of the Inquisition at the discretion of Ordo Malleus. If it weren't for the witch, I would still be living my life as an overhive whelp, following a clear path on my way to becoming a commander in the Planetary Defense Force. The named witch was one of many on the most wanted list of Ordo Hereticus, and its grievousness would certainly be known to Sindar Killhaven, if not its recent fate. Hawn's existence was a permanent stain on my being. Its name was a warning for everyone.